here on That Betting Show. Alex Gold with you till 8 o'clock, and then we'll hand things off to the Chris Kleiman Coaches Show. K-State football, of course, in action on Saturday. So that's coming up your way here on 610 Sports Radio. This is That Betting Show. We'll be here every Thursday night. I got Julio Sanchez producing the show. Normally a one-hour show, but look, sports betting launched today in Kansas, the 32nd state to launch sports wagering. Six different apps, couple sports books already open across the state. So we're going to break everything down for the next hour still to go. First hour, appreciate Kelly Stewart from Barstool Sportsbook joining us. Colin Wilson from Action Network going to join us in about 15 minutes or so. College football well underway as well. We were talking during the break, West Virginia and Pittsburgh. Not only that game now, West Virginia, the Mountaineers up 7-3 on number 17 Pittsburgh. Reminder, West Virginia 7.5-point dogs entering the game tonight. They are currently up with 11:52 to go in the first half. We were talking about the unis, though, for West Virginia. It's a clean look. Now, you don't like the helmet, though, but the unis are real. Like, I'm here. It's on the TV in here. The unis a clean look, especially when you're looking across the way and you see pitch uniforms.
Yeah, I do like what they did with the uniforms, but the helmet is just it's not doing it for me. The whole West Virginia State logo on there, it's just too small and awkward. Look, it just...
Are they doing that all year? Is that just kind of, hey, this is the backyard brawl kind of thing, and they're just trying to go all out for this game?
Not sure. I'll find out, but I hope they have new helmets.
Yeah, but the uniform itself.
Uniforms are pretty sick, though. I like the, color scheme.
Like, even with the Chiefs, like, the all-white Chiefs uniforms are pretty clean, too. Like, if you have a, like, for the most part, this West Virginia uniform is all white. There's obviously a little bit alternate color with it. But, yeah, it's a good-looking uniform, and right now I'm also just enjoying the game because it's fairly low scoring, which is what we want to see tonight so far.
You have no personal agenda on this one, right?
Not at all. Highlighted, under 51.5, please. It's 10 points with 10:50 to go in the first half. So I mentioned Coach of the Year right before we went to break, and how can you attack the Coach of the Year betting market? Let's just lay out the odds real quick, and then we can get into it a little bit more. AP NFL Coach of the Year, again, it's going to vary book to book. And that's something that you should all look at when it comes to odds. In fact, we were taking a look earlier today, and there's some great resources out there that you can view all the different odds at every book before you, especially with future markets, but really everything. You know, on one app, you know, Kevin O'Connell might be 19-1 on one to win Coach of the Year. On another side, it might be he might be 16-1. Right? Depending on how much money you're putting down, that's significant. That can be a huge shift. So make sure you're paying attention on the futures market. Yeah, you have free bets with different ones, and eventually maybe you settle in with one. But if one of the six apps has that future bet you're looking at 20-1 versus 10-1 or 15-1, like, yeah, obviously bet the same bet on the one that has it for 20-1. You're losing money. Like, you're shortchanging yourself potentially. So keep that in mind. But anyway, I'll just use FanDuel for this example here. FanDuel has Brandon Staley at 14-1 to win Coach of the Year. Brian Daboll, 14-1. Doug Peterson, back at it with the Jags now, 16-1. Kevin O'Connell, I mentioned, really intriguing candidate for Coach of the Year with the Vikings. Dan Campbell, everybody's favorite, right? With Hard Knocks going on, 16-1. Nathaniel Hackett, the Broncos' new head coach, 16-1. Mike McDaniel down in Miami with Tyreek Hill, 20-1. Those are the top ones. We can go further down the list if you would like, but that's kind of the top candidates right now, best odds for Coach of the Year. So what does history tell us also about attacking Coach of the Year a little bit? So Mike Vrabel won it last year, and his team last year had a win total entering the year of 9.5. So they weren't projected to be a bad team. They weren't projected to be the number one seed, which is ultimately what they did. So you can say they overachieve. They face some adversity, certainly was the case as well with the injuries that they had, not only with Derrick Henry at one point, but A.J. Brown was banged up. Julio Jones didn't turn out to be the guy that they thought he could be. But our friends over at the Action Network, we'll have Colin Wilson joining us in a little bit, they mentioned that was the highest preseason win total in the last 10 years for a Coach of the Year candidate. So all other Coach of the Year winners over that same span, the last 10 years, were on teams with a preseason over-under in the 5.5 to 8.5 range. So what it's saying is, if you're looking at the futures market, and for the most part, when it comes to the Coach of the Year, the market's been set that this is not something that they're not aware of course. But that's why Andy Reid consistently has terrible odds to win Coach of the Year, because their win total, for example, this year is 10.5, the Chiefs are. So short of Andy Reid going 17-0 or 16-1, or Mahomes, I don't even want to say it, there's an injury, and they still find a way to, you know, win 13 games or something. Unless that happens, Andy Reid's not winning Coach of the Year. It's just the way the award works. That's why you take a look at Sean McVay. He's 30-1. The guy just come off a Super Bowl. He would have to do something amazing this year to have any chance. In fact, he doesn't have a chance. Not winning Coach of the Year. In fact, at 30-1, I like Mike Tomlin better than Sean McVay. Mike Tomlin's sneaky there at 30-1. What did I just tell you about average win totals for a team and how that can impact the way you should look at Coach of the Year? Right. So if you take a look at the previous records, this was a playoff team, which for the Pittsburgh Steelers, usually that wouldn't help you if you're Mike Tomlin. Hey, well, you made the playoffs last year. Your expectations should be higher. Well, the expectations are lower this year for Pittsburgh. You've got Mitchell Trubisky for now, it looks like, as the week one starter. At some point, maybe Kenny Pickett. If somehow, some way, in the division with Baltimore being fully healthy, with Joe Burrow and Cincinnati coming off a Super Bowl appearance, if Pittsburgh finds a way to get to 10 wins, I'm not telling you they're going to do it, but 10 wins or 9 wins with Mike Tomlin, he will be in consideration for this. With Kenny Pickett or Mitchell Trubisky as his quarterbacks, Mike Tomlin's one of the best head coaches in football, but there's low expectations this year. I think, again, value play. 30-1, don't hate Mike Tomlin when it comes to that. Don't hate the value for Mike Tomlin whatsoever. The one that has been really popular among those over on BetQL, which is our betting network that we have through Odyssey, and we've talked on the weekends and the show I do over there for them, is Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings. Right, Minnesota, brand new head coach, but you still have, even though we can talk crap on Kirk Cousins, I think Kirk Cousins is set up to have a very nice season. Justin Jefferson, wide receiver one this year, for those of you that are doing fantasy draft. Maybe it's still Cooper Kupp, but my goodness, Justin Jefferson, I think, is going to have a massive, massive season for the Minnesota Vikings. So it's a new head coach in an NFC North that, outside of Green Bay, the Vikings, the Bears, and the Lions, the Vikings are set up for much better success in 2022 than those other two teams. Can they split one with Green Bay at some point? Can they find a way to do that? I think the Vikings, much like when we talk about the Saints in the division that they're in, I think the Vikings absolutely have a legitimate chance to be a wild card team this year. And if you're Kevin Connellan, it's your first year, Kevin O'Connell, your first year at 16-1 odds, if he makes the playoffs in his first year, that automatically puts him probably in the top two or three and gives you a chance. Again, looking beginning of the season at 16-1, I think there's some value there. Now, the favorite, Brian Daboll with the Giants and Brandon Staley with the Chargers. So Daboll with the Giants, I just have a hard time believing that with Daniel Jones, the Giants can do enough to even put themselves in this conversation for Daboll. Not that Daboll's not a good coach, not that I don't think Mike Kafka can help Daniel Jones, but you also can't be a 6-win team or 7-win team and win Coach of the Year. So it's like, what's the balance? Are they the dark horse to win the NFC East this year? Well, of course, if they do that, then Brian Daboll's winning this thing. And that's why it's at. Well, that's why the odds are what they are. Brandon Staley, it's pretty simple. Why is he the favorite? You got Justin Herbert as your quarterback in a division that's the toughest in football. Brandon Staley, if he wins 10-plus games and wins the division, Brandon Staley will probably end up being the Coach of the Year for that team. But Coach of the Year is all about not necessarily narrative, but, you know, is it adversity that these coaches are going to face along the way? Is it because you went from losing your best player and you made the playoffs better, your team from 5-11 to 11-5? Like, that's how you're going to have a chance to actually win Coach of the Year. The last couple coaches that have won Coach of the Year, I mentioned Mike Vrabel and losing Derrick Henry, and yet they were still the one seed. 2019, it was John Harbaugh was the Coach of the Year, and they went from 10-6 to 14-2. And then you go even further back, you had Bruce Arians win Coach of the Year for the Cardinals in 2014. They lost Carson Palmer for the season after 6 games, and they still made the playoffs at 11-5. Again, those are the scenarios where some of the more veteran coaches can win it. I mean, Andy Reid won it all the way back in 2002. Again, everybody's view on Andy Reid is way different. In 2022, he's won a ring since. You got Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. It just would take way too much to even have any chance of putting money on Andy Reid when it comes to the Coach of the Year conversation. One other thing for you on Coach of the Year. Just a trend to keep in mind if you're betting on this. Over the last 20 years, the Coach of the Year was with his team the previous season 13 times. In 7 of those 13 seasons, the Coach of the Year was actually above 500 the season before he won the award. So some of the history would tell you, despite there's a lot of things in favor of Kevin O'Connell, who I told you that's who I would really like to win Coach of the Year this year, that trend, at least, to keep in mind, is telling you that, look, only 7 times in the last 20 years have the Coach of the Year not been already with the team the prior season. As in, look, usually maybe it takes 2 years to get everything implemented. But that was really interesting to me. And only 4 times in the last 20 seasons has the Coach of the Year and the MVP come from the same team. So if Justin Herbert, who has fairly good odds to win MVP, 9-1, I think we talked about that earlier. If he wins MVP, it probably means they win the division as well. But don't think history telling us that Brandon Staley and Justin Herbert are both going to win both Coach of the Year and MVP. So not all trends do you just bet solely based on trends. Some people are more trend bettors than others. I think it's knowledge that you should have. You shouldn't bet solely off of trends. But those are some when it comes to the Coach of the Year market heading in to this 2022 NFL season, which starts, literally a week from right now, right? Kickoff's like a 7:10 next Saturday or next Thursday, Bills and Rams, 1 week from right now. Coming up next, though, we'll continue here on That Betting Show with Colin Wilson, senior football expert for the Action Network. We'll talk some college football with him, and we'll ask him how he evaluates that Coach of the Year market.
That Betting Show with Alex Gold, Thursday starting at 7 p.m. on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
I'm gonna give it everything I've got. Lady love.
Back here on That Betting Show, we'll be joined by Colin Wilson from the Action Network coming up in just a couple of minutes. Talk some college football, his thoughts on the NFL season, which begins a week from tonight. College football, we know locally, Missouri just kicked off a short while ago, taking on La Tech in Columbia. The Tigers closed as 21.5-point favorites. We had Kelly Stewart on from Barstool. She mentioned she was just kind of staying away from that game overall, didn't have a strong feel on the Tigers or not. But La Tech and Missouri Tigers, 0-0, 10-18 to go, just underway there. First quarter, Missouri currently 4th-3 at their own 44-yard line. So I know there's people locally, their first time to be able to legally wager on the Missouri Tigers, on a local school. You have a chance for all 3 local schools over the next couple of days. Missouri tonight, Kansas taking on Tennessee Tech tomorrow night, and Kansas a 31-point favorite over Tennessee Tech. We can talk more about that later. I'm just staying away. You can't talk me into, even if Tennessee Tech is an FCS school the way they are, there's no way you can talk me into taking 31.5 points or laying 31 points at 31.5 in some spots with the Kansas Jayhawks. Just can't do it. If you're saying if you have to bet the game, I'd rather take the team getting 31 points in that circumstance. I'll take being wrong on that one. I'm just not willing to bet on the Kansas Jayhawks laying 31 points to anybody at this point. Look, they haven't earned that trust, that respect yet, in my opinion. So we're keeping an eye on other college football games tonight. Pitt in West Virginia, about 6:15 to go in the first half. West Virginia still up 7-3. It looks like a turnover here. West Virginia just fumbled the football. It'll be a Pittsburgh ball in West Virginia territory. So a big turnover in that game. Pittsburgh closed as 7.5-point favorites. Well, before we get to Colin Wilson, we'll try to connect with him, having some issues getting him on the line. I want to look at some of the player props for the Chiefs here a little bit. Yardage props in general. I think it's kind of interesting for the Chiefs at the wide receiver spot. I think we would all agree that without Tyreek Hill, there's this mystery of, you know, what is this going to look like for Patrick Mahomes, for this Chiefs offense, and is it going to be spread out? We got a glimpse in preseason if you put a ton of stock in it. That's a fair debate, but we're 7 different receivers are catching balls in the 3 drives or so that Mahomes had in the preseason. And spreading it around. Heck, Juju Smith-Schuster was actually one of the receivers that didn't catch a pass, and then he had the sore knee and they held him out. No problem with that. Make sure he's right for week 1 against Arizona. His yardage total, and this is where shopping books is going to be huge. At Barstool Sportsbook, his total is 800.5 yards. At DraftKings, it's 750.5 yards. 50 yards. That's a huge discrepancy in over-under totals for a player's receiving prop. That's massive for a season. Now, personally, if you've listened to our midday show here with myself and Cody Tapp. You know I'm very optimistic on Juju Smith-Schuster as a wide receiver for this team anyway. I think he's a 1,000-yard receiver, so you can obviously understand that I'm optimistic and love 750 and a half, and I would love 800. But if you're shopping, which you should be betting at the place in this instance that has it at 750 and a half yards. Now, Juju Smith-Schuster has had some injuries. We know last year only played in five games. His career high is a little over 1,400 yards. In 2020, he would have gone over that number. And we can dive into this deeper, but the discrepancy is pretty remarkable. One book has Juju at 750 and a half. The other has 800 and a half. And he's this team's legit number one wide receiver. If we're not including Kelsey as a wide receiver in this conversation, I really love the over bet for Juju. We can get into some more Chiefs player props, but I want to go out to the 610 hotline and welcome in Colin Wilson, senior football expert for the Action Network. Colin, great to have you on, man. Everybody's pumped here in Kansas City. Obviously, on the Kansas side, legal wagering for the first time launching today. We got college football on, and I understand you also have some ties to the KC area as well.
Yeah, actually, I grew up in Northwest Arkansas, and my whole family lives in Iowa, so I've been a Royals fan. I was wearing diapers running around Kauffman when I was 3 years old, so I'm a big George Brett guy, and So I currently live in Oklahoma, so I'm jealous about the state of Kansas having the legalization happen for them. I can only hope that happens a little bit down south from the state of Kansas someday.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Kansas being the 32nd state to legalize sports wagering, I myself included, I didn't think that they'd be in the 30s. I thought they'd be waiting to like the 48th state or something like that to actually legalize it. Obviously, glad to be wrong there. And I know even some of our friends over on the Missouri side have been coming across the state line, hoping that Missouri can get it legalized as well. Since it is the first day of wagering, so many people listening have probably never made a wager in their life. What would you say is the best piece of advice you could give someone that today they've signed up for the apps, the six different apps, maybe they got their free credits and all that? What advice would you give them heading into their first football season of betting?
Yeah, I think if you're new to gambling and you haven't gambled before, you would definitely want to make sure you know how to do money management. So, you know, you always want to bet about 1% to 3% of your total, whatever I would say your stash or your roll or however much your bankroll is. Say if you got $100 in your bank account, then you should be betting about $1 to $3 per game to do some simple math there for everybody. And that's going to keep you in the game for a really long time. Doing things like making parlays and teasers, usually that's a good way to run through your bankroll pretty fast. I do understand some people want to treat it as entertainment, so yeah. I can definitely understand that. I bet Hawaii games at night just because it's fun. Does it mean I have an angle? No, but it is fun. So I completely understand it.
Yeah, one of the things we've hit on a couple times other than that too, Colin, tonight is, and just the example I was given before, we were looking at some player props for the Chiefs, is like shopping at different books too. I mean, it's pretty wild. Like the Juju Smith-Schuster prop, there's a 50-yard difference at one book over the other when it comes to his receiving yards this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they're going to find that with college football win totals. I mean, even with Kansas, you could find over 2. Some places you could find over 2.5. And that's really critical for a team that's, you know, projected to not win that many games. So always do shop around. Juice is important. When I say that, minus 110 versus taking like a minus 130. Try not to lay a minus 120 weekly. Just, it's like playing blackjack, you know. If you play it by the book, you're going to have, you know, the same odds as the house. But if you do things to hurt yourself in the hand, like taking hits or not taking double downs, I mean, overall, that's going to hurt you in the long run.
Oh, get your perspective on the win totals. You referenced the difference in the market there. We look at the three local schools. K-State's over win total 6.5 at 7 in some spots. KU 2.5, which has been a kind of a popular bet and been talked about around here. If this is the year that KU can finally get to 3 wins, it's been a long time since they've been able to do that. And over in Lawrence, what's your feel on the three local schools, just bigger picture and specifically even their win totals?
Oh, I absolutely love Kansas over 2.5, and I love Kansas State over 6.5, and I think Kansas State has a dark horse shot of actually competing for the Big 12 championship. And I'll start with the Jayhawks real quick. They have 2 games on their schedule. They should win their first 2 games on the schedule, and then, you know, they're going to be taking on a Duke team. They're going to be favored against Duke, and they just need to find another win on the schedule. Maybe that comes during conference play, and maybe that comes against Houston. Houston does not have a great defense whatsoever. But, you know, Jayhawk fans need to be patient because Lance Leipold, when you look at him and what he did at Buffalo, Buffalo never finished in the top 10 in recruiting for the MAC. And he was always able to take that team to the conference championship game with the worst talent in the conference. And that's what he's going to have to do at Kansas. I think he was the perfect hire for that program. And when you flip around to the Kansas State Wildcats, the addition of Adrian Martinez in at quarterback, you know, Skylar Thompson was an explosive quarterback and he could run on the ground, but not at the level of what Adrian Martinez can do. And Nebraska just asked them to do way too much. When you've got Deuce Vaughn in the backfield, when you're running a 21 personnel and you can get a fullback back there to help Adrian Martinez out, Kansas State's already one of the best teams in the nation in the trench from an offensive line, from Uzoma on the defensive line. But, I mean, just having these weapons around, I think Kansas State is a true dark horse contender for the Big 12.
We're talking to Colin Wilson, senior football expert for the Action Network. Look at the rest of this weekend, and we can get to some NFL. The rest of this weekend, we know there's still plenty of games tonight even to go. But what's a game or two that you're really high on? Because we focused in earlier on Arkansas and Cincinnati a little bit, along with Utah, who is playing Florida, and everybody's thinking, hey, can Utah run the table if they get past Florida?
Yeah, I mean, I think Utah, it's a very interesting game that they have to play when they have to travel all the way down to Florida and deal with that humidity, but that's not really what's going to bite them. What's going to bite them is that they have two new offensive linemen at center and right tackle, and lining up, you know, directly in front of them are two of the best, you know, defensive players in the SEC, and Brenton Cox and Gervin playing at the interior there. So Florida's going to be able to get pressure on Utah, and I think that's an under game all the way. I do think Utah wins, but Florida plus three, I would say that's probably a good bet. And, you know, Utah is going to have some struggles here coming in because they can't protect Cameron Rising. So definitely one game that I like. And then I think when you switch around, I think Ohio State is going to blow Notre Dame, you know, the doors off Notre Dame. But at the same time, I think under 59 is a great wager because, you know, Jim Knowles is one of the best defensive coordinators in the nation, formerly at Oklahoma State. And he knows this Notre Dame team up and down because he coached against them. Well, he set up the game plan against them in the Fiesta Bowl last year. And so, you know, this Jim Knowles is one of the best defensive coordinators, and that's the big problem that Ohio State's always had. But if you listen to Ryan Day's presser earlier this week, he said, you know, Ohio State, everything that we do is based on the run. And Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson, we have to run the ball. We are going to establish the run. So that tells me tempo is going to be slow. It's going to be a grind of a game, especially in the first half. You know, if Ohio State gets down by 7 or 10 points, of course they can air it out, and of course they can light up the scoreboard. But it doesn't sound like at the beginning of the game that's what they want to do.
The college football playoff, if you were to give me one team that maybe is a little bit further down the odds chart, a little bit, is there one team that you think is undervalued to perhaps find their way into the college football playoff this year?
Yeah, a lot of people are shocked that I like NC State. NC State beat Clemson last year. They only had a couple losses, and really, you know, I think they lost two conference games by 4 points. So, you know, they have the belief that they can do this. This team is uber focused. They had their trip to San Diego for a bowl game canceled at the very last second. The day of the bowl game, it was canceled against UCLA. I talked to them out at ACC Media Days. They return more players to their roster from an experience perspective on both sides of the ball than anybody. Their defensive coordinator, Tony Gibson, is one of the best in the nation. And if you look at that schedule again, I mean, really, the only spot where they can get bit is Clemson. And they've already beaten Clemson, so you know, it's not going to be some sort of mental hurdle where it's like, it's like Oklahoma State always has a problem beating Oklahoma, and I think it gets in their head, but that's not NC State's problem. So I think NC State gets the ACC championship game with one loss, and that means they're playing for the playoff.
Colin Wilson, senior football expert for the Action Network, joining us here on That Betting Show. First day of sports wagering being legalized in the state of Kansas. Over to the NFL, just real quickly. When you look at the Chiefs, from your perspective, in particular this division, they're still the favorites, but of course a lot of people high on the Chargers and the Broncos, and I had mentioned I think the Raiders are undervalued at 7-1. What's your feel on this division?
Well, the Chiefs certainly have the best talent, and that's saying something considering Russell Wilson coming into Denver, Justin Herbert playing quarterback. The entire division is on the rise compared to some other divisions within the NFL. So the Chiefs certainly have their work cut out for them, but they are still the most talented. They still have the most speed. And frankly, I think they still have the best, home field advantage when it comes to Arrowhead. So, you know, I think they should still be the favorites. And I personally think it's going to be Joe Burrow and Mahomes in the AFC Championship game for a lot of years coming up here in the near future. So I would not bet against the Chiefs whatsoever.
Yeah, our thing here with the Chargers in this division is, like, if you're Brandon Staley and with Justin Herbert, the talent that he has, if you don't make the playoffs this year, I don't know how you have a job at the end of the season. There's no right reason for the Chargers not to make the playoffs this year, given what they have talent-wise.
Yeah, completely agree. The entire division is on the rise, and you know, that's going to be, I mean, it makes it a tougher road for the Chiefs, but at the same time, You know, a lot of those other teams have to prove themselves. And you know, it's one of those things where three teams from the division could make the playoffs.
So I get from your answer, it sounds like you like the over for the Chiefs at 10.5 wins.
I do like the over for the Chiefs at 10.5. I think they have a lot to prove, and you know, they're certainly focused. And you know, I'm not sure that the other teams I'm not sure just adding Russell Wilson puts the Broncos up there. I'm not sure Justin Herbert and Staley are going to, you know, exactly execute enough at the level of the Chiefs. So definitely love the win total over for Mahomes and for the Chiefs.
Colin Wilson, senior football expert for the Action Network. Really appreciate the time, man. I'll let you get back to taking some notes, setting up on these college football games tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Good luck.
There you go. Colin Wilson from the Action Network. Great insight from him, both in college football and the NFL. And you notice the one thing that we've heard from both of the experts that have hopped on, something also that I mentioned early on the show, is the idea of bankroll management. I know it sounds weird when it's like, hey, betting $2 on a game. But truly, if you're only willing to lose $100 during the football season as a whole, yeah, you shouldn't be betting $50 on a game. Everybody's going to have a different. That's why we talked about, and Julio was giving me a funny look earlier when we mentioned something called unit size and how many units, and what does a unit mean for somebody else compared
what's
to another?
What's your unit size?
Yeah, it's like when it's for somebody, it might be $100. When you say one unit, okay. For somebody, it might be $10. It might be $5. It just depends, right? That's something to keep
in mind. So some units are bigger than others.
Some are, Julio. Coming up next here on That Betting Show, we'll get back to those yardage props for the Chiefs. And also, of course, we haven't even looked at it, the future odds for the Super Bowl here in 2022.
That Betting Show with Alex Gold, Thursday starting at 7 p.m. on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Luck be a lady tonight.
Back here on That Betting Show, 610 Sports Luck Radio, getting first tonight. And only live and local sports betting show in Kansas City. Alex Gould, I got Julio Sanchez producing the show. We'll be here every Thursday night. Now, normally just 7 to 8, so this is the normal time right now. But we started tonight at 6, a little two-hour special. After all, today's a big day. Sports wagering legalized in the state of Kansas. I was out at Hollywood Casino today, the sportsbook there. A lot of Missouri plates, Julio. A lot of Missouri plates in the parking lot. I think that will be a trend for a while. Wait till NFL Sundays and people will be just driving right across the state line, hopping on their mobile apps and making wagers. That's going to be the name of the game. I'll be really interested to see the we'll know numbers in about a month or so, where the revenues are at and
so you're
how
saying,
many people are coming over from Missouri to Kansas.
You're saying the state of Missouri is losing out on revenue. That's what you're saying.
100% they are.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
100%
just
checking. They are. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Drag their feet, you know.
That is something that perhaps will help them in 2023 get it legalized if those that just care about the money aspect of it to start to realize kind of how much more money, because look, Missouri is bordered by multiple states already, just add Kansas to the list, that have legalized sports wagering. People in St. Louis have been going over to Illinois for the last couple of years. Like, that's not a new thing. Now you add another state, of course, up in Iowa. A lot of people in Kansas have been going up to Iowa, even in Missouri been going to Iowa as well. And so you're talking about losing a lot of revenue there. But for this football season, Kansas is the only one near the Kansas City area, right? And there's obviously some opportunity there for people to come across the state line and wager in Kansas, and it's already happening, as a matter of fact. Again, if you are just joining us, we'll be here, as I said, every Thursday night, but also the style of show that we're going to be doing here, as we've had a couple experts join us. We're not just going to be screaming picks and guaranteeing picks or anything like that. We'll tell you what we feel strongly about. We're going to talk out conversations when it comes to why we're thinking a certain way, and hopefully everybody just becomes more knowledgeable. I know there's a lot of people that have never bet before, as a matter of fact, which is really fun and exciting because it's new and it's fresh. But some of the terminology, I've had people asking on the text line, and you guys can still text in to 913-586-7610, not only thoughts on certain teams, but, you know, hey, how does the promo stuff work? Even if you missed the boat, you're thinking on signing up for the apps before and getting the free bets, there's still free bet opportunities today, and there will be many more. If you want help with that, just hit me up on Twitter at Alex Gold or text into the show, and we'll give you some advice on where to go when it comes to get some free bets. There's always boosts, what they call boosts, and different things that are out there. That's what's going on in this West Virginia pit game, where it was pretty simple. If you bet $50 on this game, if a single point was scored, they were doubling your money. So it was a free bet because obviously somebody has to score to win. Gannon in a tie. So, yeah, it was a free bet. Right now, Pittsburgh and West Virginia, 10-7, a buck 20 to go in the first half. It is a 10-7 Pitt lead, although West Virginia just hit a big third down conversion, getting inside about the 15-yard line there. Pitt with a minute 13 to go. Of course, locally, the Missouri Tigers in action tonight. They currently trail Louisiana Tech 3-0. Missouri 21-point favorites in some spots where it closed at 2:29 to go in the first quarter. So very, very, very early. La Tech with the ball backed up on their own 2-yard line. So Missouri likely to get the ball back here pretty soon. A lot of college football already going on tonight. Oklahoma State, the high-scoring team so far in the early portion of the night. 44 points on the board in the first half for Mike Gundy's Oklahoma State Cowboys. 44-15 lead over Central Michigan. So that just keeps you aware of what's going on in college football for the rest of the night. Plenty more games to go, and then full college football Saturday is going to be awesome. Cannot wait for that. I want to get back, though, to the player props. I mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster. 750.5 yards receiving is his over-under in one spot, 800 in the other. That's why you shop the lines. But I love the over for him. I want to talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Clyde's kind of this polarizing figure because he was drafted in the first round, and right then and there, that already upset people. And he hasn't lived up to first-round expectation, to say the least. And we have all seen Jonathan Taylor do what he's done for the Indianapolis Colts. That hasn't helped his cause. Do I think at times the criticism towards Clyde is a little unfair? Yes, I do. I don't think he's been as bad as people think he has. The issue was, he's a first-round pick. And he hasn't performed at that level, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, in his two seasons, still only 23 years old, but 10 games last year, 517 yards on the ground. His rookie year, got off that great start. Great start. Everybody was talking about him maybe being a rookie of the year candidate. In a huge game right out of the gate. Unfortunately, 13 games played, did have 800 yards. Do you think he can get back to that number? His over-under rushing yard total at DraftKings is 700.5 yards rushing. For me, it comes down to a simple question when you're betting this. Do you think he's staying healthy? And if you don't think he's staying healthy, do you think he's healthy for at least 13 or 14? Because we've seen him, when he's played in even 13, get over 800 yards rushing. This is 100 yards less, 700 yards. We know the backfield's very crowded and kind of weird. We're trying to figure out here in Kansas City how it's going to work. They got four running backs on the roster right now. Clyde, McKinnon, Pacheco, all the hype around him. And, of course, Ronald Jones, who everybody had cut 2 weeks ago and ends up making the team. If you look at the backfield, there's not going to be one true bell cow carrying the load. Teams don't really do that unless you got Taylor or Derrick Henry. Anyway, I think each guy will have a different role. Eventually, it wouldn't surprise me if they end up carrying three running backs if they need a roster spot somewhere else. But I think Clyde is going to play in 14 or 15 games this year, which will be the most in his career by one or two games. I lean over on this. It's not my strongest play. I feel way stronger on the Juju bet. I think Juju's going to blow past 750.5 yards receiving. I don't feel as strongly on Clyde over 700.5. But if you're asking where I lean, yeah, I lean over on Clyde at 700 yards. Because to me, the question is just, can he stay healthy? He's proven if he can play in enough games, they're going to give him the opportunity. I don't think Pacheco's taking the full-on starting gig from him this year. Not that Pacheco can't be the future one. I think the hype has gotten a little out of control, personally, on Pacheco. I think he's going to help his team win some games this year, but I think this hype from day one when we were up in St. Joe on Pacheco got a little crazy. We saw some glimpses of it in a game, though, in the final preseason game. You're like, oh, okay, I can see that. Prior to that, we really hadn't seen it other than a couple practices, and then all of a sudden there was this national hype. The fantasy football community took over and acted like Pacheco was going to be this great player. I'm just not as sold there. I don't know, Julio, how you see this running back backfield going, and if you're confident enough to put any money on 700.5 rushing yards for Clyde.
No, I'm with you on the over on that. Only because this is opinion and hope, right? But but the running back group as a whole is pretty deep, and I think the additional pressure now. I think this is the first time in his career, which is fairly short, right? But this is the first time in his career now where he's got pressure on him. It's a make or break year for him. There's backs lined up behind him who will take his job. And I think that puts enough pressure on him to step his game up this year and even probably fight through, if he does get injured, fight through some of those injuries to try and keep his position. I'm with you on the overs.
The other player I want to take a look at just real quick, and then we'll get a break. A reminder, Chris Kleiman show coming up at 8 o'clock, the K-State Coaches Show here on 610 Sports Radio. touchdowns. Not so much on the Juju touchdown number. I really don't want to touch. It's 6.5. I really don't have a whole lot of interest there. Travis Kelce is where I want to go in this conversation. His over under receiving touchdowns is 9.5. His receiving yards is just over 1,000 yards. We know he's had six straight 1,000 yard season. He's another guy where if you're going to bet it, to me, you got to bet the over. If you're going to bet it, you got to bet the over on Travis Kelce. No Tyreek Hill. I expect him to have the same type of production as a year ago. If you just look at Travis Kelce at camp and at practice, at preseason, there's no reason to believe that this is the year he's dropping off yet. So I like the over there. But the touchdown number is interesting for Kelce. You would think that Kelsey's like just this automatic red zone guy. He really hasn't been that. Tyreek Hill was more of the red zone guy touchdown-wise. This year, spreading things around more. Jody Fortson, does he stay healthy? Does he take away some of these touchdowns for Travis Kelce? Let's look at where Travis Kelce has been receiving touchdown-wise in his career the last couple of seasons. Pull up his touchdown numbers, and if you take a look for Travis Kelce, last year receiving touchdowns at 9, so obviously that's why the number is sitting at 9, right? He had 9 last year, 11 the year before, then 5, then 10. So last year it would have been a push, right? Or it's over 9.5, I'm sorry. Last year it would have lost at 9, so it's over 9.5. Does he get more red zone targets this year is the question. I'm staying away from the touchdown number here on Travis Kelce. I would lean a little bit towards the under. It's minus 115 in both spots, over or under. But I don't have a strong play on Travis Kelce's receiving touchdowns. I like the receiving yardage for Kelce. But if you look at his track record, the high career high was 2011. Then after that was 5, 10, 8, 4, 5, 5. We go back all the way into his early portion of his career prior to Patrick Mahomes' arrival. But I don't like the over 9.5 number. If you can find it at 9, maybe you're willing to bet it because you feel like you can get a push. But asking for 10 receiving touchdowns, not so sure that that's going to be the case. Coming up next, the final segment in our first That Betting Show here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll get to some Goldilocks and our Super Bowl favorite next.
That Betting Show with Alex Gold. Thursday starting at 7 p.m. on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back here on That Betting Show, we'll hand things off to the Chris Kleiman Coaches Show here in about 9 minutes or so. Thanks for hanging out on our first ever That Betting Show, 610 Sports Radio. First day of sports wagering in the state of Kansas. Congrats to those of you that maybe had the over in that Central Michigan-Oklahoma State game. The over was 58. Yeah, it cashed at halftime. That's always a great feeling. 44 points for number 12 Oklahoma State. 44-15 lead over Central Michigan, so the over 58 already cashing for those of you that had the over. We'll get to the Goldilocks heading into college football weekend. I just want to mention that Missouri on the board for the first time in 2022. The Missouri Tigers just got a touchdown up 7-3 on La Tech, 14-50 to go in the first half, so very early there, just now early portion of the second quarter, but after trailing 3-0, Missouri on the board. In Columbia, still have some games that haven't even kicked off for tonight. A little bit later on, New Mexico State and Minnesota. You got Northern Arizona, Arizona State, Cal Poly, Fresno State, and Portland State, and San Jose State. And then tomorrow, Kansas will be in action for the first time in 2022 against Tennessee Tech, and then Kansas State on Saturday as well. But let's get right to them. We end the show every week, we will, with the Goldilocks. So let's start it off. This one will be like bet 1A, and here's why. I tweeted it out. I put it on our That Betting Show Discord channel, and if you want to join that Discord channel, hit me up on Twitter, at Alex Gold. I tweeted it out. Under 51.5, Pittsburgh at West Virginia. The game's going on now. It happened right before we got on the air officially. Under 51.5. New quarterback, rivalry game. I think West Virginia not going to win this game. But I thought West Virginia would try to slow this thing down a little bit, really struggle against Pittsburgh's defense. Right now, it's 10-10 at halftime. Definitely pacing to go under 51.5. The live total is 43.5. So we'll count that one as 1A. How about 1B? New Mexico State and Minnesota. I mentioned this game coming up later tonight. Under 55 now. If you check out your book now, likely going to see it at 52 or 53. Before it was at 55, been bet down, kickoff at 8 o'clock here. New Mexico State lost 23-13 last week to Nevada. That offense and an Aggie bunch coached by their former Golden Gopher head coach, Jerry Kill, ran an offense that was pacing as the 15th slowest in the nation based on last year. That's what they were doing last week against Nevada. I think they're going to really struggle to score, slow things down. Minnesota, on their other hand, even though they're going to win this game handily, they're 36-point favorites, one of the least explosive offenses in football. So I like the under 55. Again, it's under 52. I play it to 51.5. That's my first one. Bet number two, if we're counting it, Nebraska minus 21.5 against North Dakota. I know some of you are saying, what on earth? What are you talking about? I know we all saw the game in Ireland last week against Northwestern. Scott Frost can't win when trailing at halftime. The good news here, guys, not going to trail at halftime because they're already going to be up by 2+ touchdowns at halftime.
If you say so.
They will not lay off the gas in this game, and that is because they are under fire in Lincoln. Everybody wants Scott Frost gone already. I think Nebraska will end up firing Scott Frost, but this has blowout written all over it. Minus 21.5 against North Dakota. Casey Thompson actually looked decent against Northwestern, threw for 355 yards and was really good in the first half. Obviously, other issues for Nebraska when it comes to higher competition, but against North Dakota, I think they will make sure they put a bunch of points on the board. They will not lay off the gas. Minus 21.5 against North Dakota. Next up, a game that I asked both our experts, both Kelly Stewart from Barstool Sports and also Colin Wilson from the Action Network. Number 23, Cincinnati at number 19, Arkansas. Arkansas is on the right side of 7. That's key here. Minus 6.5 was minus 6. If it goes up to 7, don't touch it whatsoever. I like Arkansas to cover at home against Cincinnati. Cincinnati lost a ton. We talk all the time about Georgia this year heading in and how much they've lost, and they're still a title contender. Cincinnati's going to have a really nice season. Of course, pretty soon about to be a member of the Big 12. They lost a ton, including their quarterback, Brian Cook, their safety that's right here in Kansas City. As a matter of fact, a ton of leaders from that team. I like Arkansas in week one to cover the 6.5. Again, make sure you're getting it on the right side of 7 if you're going to follow. You fade or follow, you guys make the decision on these. We'll keep track throughout the college football, and eventually we're going to have NFL picks as well. We continue the Goldilocks. How about Utah? Minus 2.5, up to 3 in spots now, versus Florida. Utah won the Pac-12 last year, finished 10-4. They return 8 starters on offense, including Cameron Rising, who might be a guy to keep an eye on for the Heisman Trophy this year. As a matter of fact, they got their leading rusher back. On the flip side, you got Florida with a brand new head coach. Yes, he's got 13 starters, but Utah is the more talented team. I understand Florida has won, I think it's 35 straight home openers. A little bit different when you have Utah coming to town. In this case, Utah, if they beat Florida, I think Utah can run the table and look for them. If you're confident in betting Utah with me on this game, you should look to sprinkle a little bit on Utah to make the college football playoff. Yes, I think Utah can be that team. Those are my Goldilocks heading in to week one of the college football season. Again, fade or follow. Most importantly, have a ton of fun. Let's cash some tickets as well. Thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight. The first edition of That Betting Show here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll be back at it next Thursday. We'll be doing this every week, 1 hour normally, but a fun 2-hour preview tonight. Next Thursday, 7-8, we'll be right there at the start of NFL season. Bills, Rams going to be kicking off. We'll be focusing on the Chiefs and Cardinals, that line, the props that we like for that game. We'll talk more college football as well. We've got it all coming your way next Thursday right here on 610 Sports Radio. If you missed some of it, Julio Sanchez, a producer, helping us out. Podcasting the show will be up here on the Odyssey app very soon as
well.
Already
up.
There we go. See, look at
I'm on it.
On
I'm
top on it. Of it. On gotcha. Top of it. Tomorrow, of course, be tuning in at 6 a.m. the Fesco in the morning. Cody and I off tomorrow on the midday show, so Dusty Likens and Nick Schwert will take care of you heading into the Labor Day holiday. Let's cash some tickets. Best of luck tonight and the rest of the weekend here. Betting in Kansas legally for the first time ever. I can make the action. Had to stop at a red light. Looking in my mirror, not a jacker in sight. And everything is all right. That Betting Show with Alex Gold. Thursdays starting at 7 p.m. on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.